Just over the last week, I found myself down in Carlisle. I was staying with a friend who is a farm animal vet, and I went to stay with him to see a bit of practice and get a bit of practical experience. And for those that don't know, I'm studying vet medicine at the moment. And it was, I think it was Wednesday afternoon, we both finished early, and my friend was training for what he called a mountain marathon. And I think it involved a 2-day orienteering course in the Lake District somewhere. And he asked me to join him in one of his training runs. And when he said it was an hour and a half, I thought that would be no bother. But it was more like an hour running and then half an hour of freezing and stumbling home. But while we were running, well, I could speak for the sort of first half hour. And he was asking me some questions. And the first question he asked me was, Ian, tell me this, where are you at in life? And the image he gave me was something like, did that not come up? I pressed the wrong button. There we go. Yeah, the question he asked me was, where are you in life? And the image he gave me was something like this. He said, imagine you're in the shopping centre, and you want to find out where a certain shop is. And so you go and you look at the map. And when you get to the map, there's a big arrow. And on that arrow, it'll say, you are here. And so he said, where is your arrow pointing at? Where are you? And so as we're here this morning, I'd just like to pose a similar question and ask, where are you when we think about the cross? Because as we meet together here on the 6th of April, we find ourselves a couple of weeks on from Easter Sunday, a couple of weeks on from the highlight of the Christian calendar. And the question I pose to you today is, where are you when you think back to the cross? Where are you in relation to Jesus? And over the last wee while, my mind has been on John chapter 21. And I've just been trying to think of, where was Peter at this point in time? So I'd just like to read the verses from the Bible in John 21. We're told, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples there asked him, who are you? They knew that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. And so with the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." So I've been mulling over this passage a lot, and what I've been trying to work out and think over is, where was Peter at this point? And so I think in order to try and understand where he was at now, we need to look at a bit of the background and look at where Peter was at previously, what had happened to him earlier on in his life. And Peter's call is detailed in Mark chapter 1. And we're told there that as Jesus was passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Simon Peter was specially called by Jesus in order to follow him. He was called to be a disciple. And we see here that Peter was a fisherman by trade, and that was his business. But Jesus came to him on that day in what was perhaps one of the first meetings that Peter had with Jesus, and he was asked to give up just his day job of catching fish because God had a higher purpose for his life. And later on we have Peter's commission, and we read that Jesus says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." And just looking at those two passages there, you get this real picture that God had a huge plan for Peter's life. Peter was going to be used amongst the group of the disciples to be the leader and to take the message of Jesus not just out to Israel, but out to the whole world. Peter was going to be responsible for establishing the church here on earth. And Peter's response was to give up everything. He left it all behind. And for 3 years he followed Jesus, which would have disrupted everything. Had to give up his business, and it would no doubt have had implications in his marriage. But at this point, Jesus was most important, and Peter wanted to follow him and try and live out the plan that Jesus had for him. And so you see that God had this huge plan for Peter's life, and yet you come later to the end of John's Gospel, and the response of Peter is not going out into the world to share the message of the cross, to share the message of God's love, but he's going back to his old job. "I'm going fishing." What had led to that point when it seems like perhaps he's got sidetracked, perhaps he's almost given up on his relationship with God? And I've been trying to mull over that, and part of me thinks, well, maybe Peter didn't quite fully understand what the cross was all about. Perhaps his view was a bit misguided. And we read in Mark chapter 8 that Jesus was teaching his disciples about the cross. We're told Jesus and his disciples left Galilee and went up to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. As they were walking along, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say you are one of the other prophets." Then Jesus asked, "Who do you say I am?" Peter replied, "You are the Messiah." But Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Then Jesus began to tell them that he, the Son of Man, would suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the leaders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, and 3 days later, he would rise again. As he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and told him he shouldn't say things like that. Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, and then said to Peter very sternly, "Get away from me, Satan. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." And so it seems from that Peter didn't quite grasp that the whole purpose of Jesus coming to the world was to die on the cross in order to take all of the punishment for all of the wrong things of the world. You know, in fact, Peter, when you look at his character, you find that for all his leadership qualities, he was quite a bold and brash character. Sometimes he was guilty of acting before he'd really thought out what he was doing. You know, and here we even see that Peter at one point had the audacity to tell the Son of God that what he was teaching was wrong. And later on, we find out that, I don't know if he still quite grasped it, when in John 18, it seems like Peter, when it comes to Jesus' arrest, he still doesn't seem to get that this was the whole point in Jesus coming to the world. The leading priests and Pharisees had given Judas a battalion of Roman soldiers and the temple guards to accompany him. Now, with blazing torches, lanterns, and weapons, they arrived at the Olive Grove. Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him. Stepping forward to meet them, he asked, "Whom are you looking for?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. Judas was standing there with them when Jesus identified himself, and as he said, "I am he," they all fell backwards to the ground. Once more he asked them, "Whom are you searching for?" And again they replied, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus said, "and since I am the one you want, let these others go." He did this to fulfill his own statement, "I have not lost a single one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant. But Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup the Father has given me?" And I don't know about you, but when you look at these passages, it seems like Peter didn't quite grasp that Jesus was all about the cross. It seems like, you know, he was a bit mixed up. They expected some sort of physical battle, that Jesus was going to lead them into a fight, perhaps against the Roman Empire, and when Jesus was going to lead them, and they were going to be victorious in that battle. The whole idea that the Messiah, the Son of God, could come to the world specifically to die, it didn't seem that that rested very well in Peter's mind. He seemed to be looking towards a different outcome. He didn't seem to gather that Jesus was all about the cross. But despite that, I still don't think that this was the real reason why we find Peter's decided to go fishing again. He's decided to go back to his old way of life. I think that the reasons behind that were much deeper and they were much more personal. And as we said, Peter was quite a bold character and quite a brash character, but he was also a very committed disciple. In fact, Peter was specially chosen not just to be one of Jesus' 12 disciples, but from that group, he was one of Jesus' closest friends, and he was privy to quite a lot of special moments that only he really shared with Jesus. And we're told later on, once again, in John's Gospel, that Jesus is once again teaching that it's time for the cross, it's time for him to be betrayed. And we're told, "Dear children, how brief are these moments before I must go away and leave you. Then, though you search for me, you cannot come to me, just as I told the Jewish leaders. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other, just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Simon Peter said, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus replied, "You can't go with me now, but you will follow me later." "But why can't I come now, Lord?" he asked. "I am ready to die for you." Jesus answered, "Die for me? No. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter here says, "Whatever happens, Lord, I'm going to die for you." Such a bold claim. And, you know, I don't know how you feel about that, but I believe that at this point in time, this was a genuine statement from Peter, that he felt he was so committed to the cause of Jesus, he was so committed to spreading the word of God, that he was willing to die. He was willing to give up everything, give up his life for Jesus. But unfortunately, when Peter was put under pressure, when it came down to the crunch, he couldn't quite live up to those claims. And later on, we're told, "Meanwhile, Peter was below in the courtyard. One of the servant girls who worked for the high priest noticed Peter warming himself at the fire. She looked at him closely and then said, "You were one of those with Jesus the Nazarene." Peter denied it. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said, and he went out into the entryway. Just then, a rooster crowed. The servant girl saw him standing there and began telling the others, "That man is definitely one of them." Peter denied it again. A little later, some of the other bystanders began saying to Peter, "You must be one of them because you're from Galilee." Peter said, "I swear by God, I don't know this man you're talking about." And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows twice, he will deny me three times." And he broke down and cried. I think that the situation that we have here now is pivotal toward understanding where we find Peter at the end of John's Gospel, when it seems he's given up. It seems he's turned his back on Jesus, he's turned his back on God, and he's went back to his old way of living. And I think it came down to the fact that Peter must have just felt so guilty. He must have felt like an absolute failure. After making that bold claim, "Lord, I will lay down my life for you," we find later on that he doesn't just say, "I don't know Jesus," but he adamantly swears and curses, "I don't know this man." How must he have felt to let down one of his close friends, to deny that he knew one of his closest friends, a man that had invested 3 years in him? Peter was specially chosen by Jesus. He was specially chosen by the Son of God. And the Son of God had spent 3 years walking across the world with Peter. Son of God had spent 3 years teaching Peter the ways of God. And at the very end of it, Peter says, "I don't know this man." And it just seems that Peter must have just felt, "Look, I've messed up." He must have remembered those great claims that Jesus said, "Peter, I'm going to use you to take the message of God out to the world. You're going to be one of the main men in establishing the Christian church here." But we find him at the end of John's Gospel, back fishing. Seems like he's nowhere. And I think it all comes down to this really personal moment, this moment when he denies Jesus and he lets him down. But we find that when he meets Jesus in John 21, the situation that he must have expected was very different. It seems like Jesus didn't totally cut Peter down. He didn't condemn him. You know, and despite all the great claims that Peter made to Jesus, you know, "I will die for you," when Jesus meets him again, he doesn't call him on the fact that he denied him, but rather, we're told that Jesus just asks him, "Do you love me more than these?" Jesus didn't stand up and say, "Peter, you denied me, you've let me down." And yes, he didn't say, "I decided that you were going to be one of the main guys, that I was going to use you to spread the message of God's love across the world." He didn't say, "No, Peter, you've let me down, so that's game over, that's finished." Jesus says, "No, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than anything else in the world? More than your job? More than your friends around you? More than your family? More than this world? Do you love me? Do you love God?" It seems like Jesus confronts the real issue. Peter just feels like he's let God down. Peter feels, "There's no way that I can be used again. There's no way that God can use me in that powerful way that he told me he would." Peter just felt so alone and so guilty. But Jesus confronts that issue. "Do you love me more than these?" There's no condemnation. No condemnation. And I just think that that's amazing. That Jesus didn't call him on what he'd done wrong, but rather he seeks to restore him. He seeks to sort out the issues. Now we find he'd made that great claim earlier on. "Peter, you're going to be the rock in which I build my church." And here right at the end, after Peter feels he's let him down, after he feels that there's no way back, the final words Jesus says to him is, "Follow me." He restores him back to where he was, back to being that disciple. And he makes Peter, once again, that great follower. He restores him and he sets him back on the road to taking the church across the world. And I feel that's the same message for us, that there's no condemnation and that there's restoration for us when we consider Jesus and we consider the cross. Jesus at this point confronted Peter and he'd sorted out the personal issues that Peter had. It seems like the relationship between Peter and Jesus had broken down because Peter had failed. And that's the same for each and every one of us today. God had planned a special relationship for us, a special plan for us, but each one of us has failed. Each one of us has let him down. But instead of calling us on it, instead of condemning us on it, we're told that Jesus didn't do that. In fact, he came to the world, to the cross. The cross was for us. It was a message of love, not of condemnation. Jesus died on the cross and he sorted out all the issues that we have, all of the sin that we have, all that would cut us off from God. We're not condemned by that, but we're forgiven by God. We're restored through the cross. There is no condemnation, and we can be restored if we personally accept that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, and then he rose again to set us free. We'll be free, we'll be restored, we'll have that relationship with Jesus. And I'd just like to finish by sharing some verses from Romans 8, where we were earlier on. And it says that, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." I've been really enjoying looking at this passage in John 21 and just seeing how Jesus goes about restoring Peter. He didn't call him on what he'd done wrong. He didn't condemn him. He restored him. And that's the message that God has for each and every one of us today. He doesn't want to condemn us for the wrong things we've done, but rather he wants to show his love. And he showed that by sending Jesus to die on the cross. Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. There is no condemnation, but there is freedom when you think about Jesus. Thank you. I'd just like to close in prayer now.